heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach, but we know with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, so glad to be with you again. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us in this Advent season. Hope all of your Advent observances are going well. And Advent is the beginning of the year, can be a time of transition. And of course, for those of you who were following along with all of the happenings in Bishop Cousins' life, he was installed earlier this week as the 8th Bishop of Crookston, Minnesota. And in case you missed it, in case you weren't able to tune into the live stream of his installation mass, we've got a little excerpt from his homily that he gave at his installation. I thought just to pay him tribute one more time, it'd be great to take a listen to a little bit of that homily. So yeah, let's listen in for just a segment out of his homily.
Hope, however, is not mere optimism. And it's not a kind of Pollyannish or positive thinking. You know, we know well those things we tell ourselves when things aren't going so well and we don't want to face a particular sadness or evil. We say to ourselves, you know, it'll all work out, or it's going to be okay. It's not that big of a deal. These sayings, you know, they may help numb our feelings in the particular moment, but they're not really hope. Why? Christian hope does not ignore or downplay the reality of evil. Christian hope is not rooted in a vague optimism that things will be okay. Christian hope is rooted in the Paschal mystery, the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus. We know evil is real. We know that pain and sin and evil have caused great damage in our world. And we know it from the painful experiences in our own lives. Sometimes even we've experienced it in the church. And we know our own struggle with sin. Each of us is weak. That's why we go to confession. And yet still, despite we know this experience of evil, we have hope. Because we proclaim a hope that's stronger than evil. And so therefore, we're not afraid to face evil. We're not afraid to speak about it. Not afraid to acknowledge our sins and weaknesses, for Christ has conquered all this evil through his death and resurrection and has given us reason to hope. Someone asked me last week at the goodbye celebration we had in the Archdiocese if the Diocese of Crookston was north of hope. Of course, you recognize that reference to the famous novel of John Hassler, right? Which could have been, and probably was, written about someplace in the Diocese of Crookston, right? But the point is clear. No place where Christ lives is north of hope. And most especially in difficulties and in struggles, we discover the true power of hope. And the Diocese of Crookston has been through some difficulties and struggles. It doesn't help to pretend that these did not happen. But to have real hope, we face those difficulties and struggles head on. And we'll do that together. It's part of the healing that God wants to do about in our midst. When there's been failures, we repent for them. And we must be ready to seek and to give forgiveness. Of course, this is an individual work. It's a work that each of us have to do in our own hearts. Each of us looking at the wounds of our hearts and being willing to seek God's forgiveness and God's healing. In the church, we call this work reconciliation. And St. Paul spoke about this work in our second reading today. And he says it's the work that Jesus came to do in the world. to reconcile us to himself and to each other. God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's what we do in the church. We reconcile. We reconcile ourselves to God through confession and the sacraments, and then we reconcile with each other and with the world. And then we carry this ministry of reconciliation. We know that through reconciliation, God forgives, God heals, God makes new.
And what a wonderful message that God does indeed make new, especially for this Advent season. Just a homily that's all about hope, a homily that's all about God making new. We're going to miss you, Bishop Cousins. Thank you for all you've done for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. God bless you in this new assignment, this new adventure of shepherding the Diocese of Crookston. Well, as always, we've got a great show lined up for us today. First up, Molly Shore has been an advocate for helping others, bringing estranged family and friends back to the faith. She joins us in just a moment for some tips on how to compassionately share our faith with others this Advent and Christmas season. Next, did you partake in last year's Cathedral Lights Festival? The stunning light show displayed on the walls of the Cathedral of St. Paul lit up the night, and this year, it's back, with not one, but two light shows and so much more. Elizabeth Hollett and Andrew Kermeyer share more. Lastly, have you been keeping up with Father Mike Schmitz's Bible in a Year podcast? Jeff Cavins is with us to share a year in review of the podcast that's been taking the world by storm. That's what's coming up today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, during the Advent and Christmas seasons, many of us are blessed to be constantly surrounded by family and friends. But sometimes we do experience discomfort, sorrow, or even pain when we encounter family who have strayed from the faith or left the church completely. With us today to offer some suggestions on how to re-engage our beloved family members in conversations about the faith is Molly Shore, Director of Religious Education at Incarnation Church in Sarasota, Florida, and the founder of Return. Molly, good to speak with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful to have you on. Well, now, obviously to me, but maybe not to all of our listeners, you have some strong Minnesota ties, hence we decided to dip into the well that is you again. Give us a little bit of an update about what's going on with you since you moved away to Florida.
Yeah, well, I won't tell all the listeners that it's 73 degrees and sunny right now. And
so, oh.
But no, it's been definitely a gift from God, truly listening to him and discerning his plan for our family to move down here. And we've really fallen in love with the area and the community and the church that we work at, and the kids are at the school connected to it. It's just been a blessed move, and really been able to bring Return to a larger market too down here, and have new churches and new people kind of experience the process of equipping themselves to talk to their loved ones and come back to the church.
Right, right. Wonderful. Well, let's get right into that. You know, we're coming up on Christmas, which is a time of year when family members are together, and there can be, and oftentimes is, some tension between those for whom Mass is a central part of Christmas celebrations and those who only attend Mass at Christmas and Easter, and those who no longer attend Mass at all. So what advice, Molly, would you give to those of us who would love to see our loved ones come to Mass with us, especially at these important times of year, but we don't really know how to broach the topic?
I think the first thing to keep in mind is that for a lot of people, this might be one of the first Christmases in the last couple of years that people feel comfortable gathering together. And so the most important thing is to be grateful for those gathered around the table, to share with them how much you love them and how glad you are that they are able to be there in person. That has been a unique situation for us, and I think one that we have to really recognize as a gift when we can gather together. I think another thing, too, really that's important is to be patient with ourselves and with our loved ones. Sometimes we feel that when we get them together, that the message has to come out because you have to capitalize on the opportunity. And I think it's important to recognize that our loved ones need to know that we love them first. Like, first and foremost, they need to know that we are in their corner and we love them. That is one of the first steps to build that bridge of trust in order to be able to have conversations with them that dive deeper. If some of the work has already been put in place, and if you've already had conversations with your loved ones about faith, and especially I have seen with COVID, a lot of people have started to question and wonder, you know, is there more than this? Is there something greater than this? I've seen an openness to faith really explode in a lot of people because of the pandemic that's, you know, wreaked havoc on the entire world. And so sometimes that openness allows an opportunity to have a conversation about where they are in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Do they know him? Do they see him? Do they see him as a person that they can reach out to and pray with and have that, have Jesus be an active kind of participant in their life? Or is he still kind of someone at arm's length that they're not sure about? And I think some of those conversations can start to happen. I think the invitation to Mass really has to be on a case-by-case basis and really used as an opportunity if some of those conversations have already begun. Mass can be overwhelming for people that haven't experienced it in a long time, and especially at Christmas when there's so many people that attend. It really needs to be made sure that the person is right in a good space to be able to really experience the gift that is the liturgy, and especially that is within the Eucharist.
Right. Well, you're getting into really my next question, which was along the lines of, I know it can happen that, you know, you invite family members in, especially if it's sons or daughters, especially if they're bringing grandchildren and that sort of thing. And even out of a well-intentioned place, a well-intentioned heart, it can be tempting to institute this rule that if you're staying in our home, you will go to Mass with us. But I'm guessing, based on whatever you're saying, all the things that you're saying, that that is not such a great idea. Can you expand on that a little bit and tell us why not? Why not institute that rule?
Yeah, and I can do it by just a quick story. Recently, my youngest sister came to visit us here in Sarasota, and she is one that has definitely strayed from the faith and is really in a process right now of trying to figure out what her life is and where she's at. And we obviously, our family goes to Mass. It's part of our weekly routine and what we do as a family. And I had an opportunity to either push it because she was staying with us and otherwise she'd sit at home with no car, or use it as an invitation. And so I just kind of said, hey, if you want to come with us, we'd love to have you. Otherwise, you can borrow my husband's car and we'll meet up with you for dinner afterwards. And she came. And I remember during the liturgy just praying that the Mass would touch her in some capacity. And again, an opportunity after Mass to either harp on it and say, now, wasn't that great? Aren't you glad that you were here? Or just let the conversation go as it goes. And she made a comment about the priest homily, and he had made a joke that she thought was funny. And she's like, yeah, no, it seemed like a really good place. And that was it. And it was just an opportunity for a seed to be planted. And so I think dictums and rules, especially with people that are seeking and trying to understand what this faith all means, can often be met with resistance and opposition. And so to be as open about it and as, hey, we'd love to have you, but no pressure, tends to help our loved ones feel that, again, it's about the relationship with them that is the most important, that we're seeking this relationship and this, you know, growth with them as a person, and not, we love them only if they go to Mass, and only if they do what we ask them to do in the walls of our home. That can be tricky.
Yeah, well, that's what's going through my head, too, is that if we kind of set the groundwork in saying that we only love you if you go to Mass, then that seems to translate pretty easily into God only loves you if you go to Mass, right? And that is clearly not the message of Scripture, of our faith, that in fact it was, well, Romans 5 tells us that while we were still sinners, while we were running away from God, God proved his love for us, and that's when Christ died for us. And yeah, it seems to me that that's the best way to carry that on to our loved ones and friends. So, speaking of that love, you've given some suggestions already, Molly. But what's the best approach to really showing our love, showing our care for our family members, without demanding that they be who we want them to be? Living a full Catholic life.
I think the biggest thing, honestly, comes down to our ability to translate the joy of our faith to our loved ones. We, especially in this time of Advent and Christmas, which can be very stressful and sometimes bring out the worst in people, depending on their stress level, I think it's so important that we radiate the love and the joy that Christ has for all of us to our loved ones. They need to walk into our homes and feel at peace and feel that there is this love that is there, that is palpable, that they can't even really put their finger on. Our loved ones need to sense that even regardless of if the turkey gets burned or the packages don't get delivered on time or the Christmas cards become Lenten cards, that we still have a joy because we're celebrating not a secular holiday, but the birth of our Savior. And that joy is what sustains us through all the bumps and the ups and downs, especially during the season. I think that message that can be translated a lot of times without words can be so inspiring in a time when a lot of our loved ones see that, again, Christmas brings out the icky sometimes in people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do, as you're speaking, Molly, I'm already thinking about things that we can do for loved ones here in my own home, in my own situation, that things like even just, I know that my wife and I always want our home to be a place of welcome to whomever might come through our doors, right? And so even things like praying God's peace over the space, over home, you know, adding maybe a special home blessing before the holidays and before you entertain people, thinking through, this may be something small, but I know when my elderly father comes to visit us, he likes the house warmer than we usually keep it, you know, so something like that.
Yep.
I mean, it just seems like these types of small things, like you said, oftentimes without words, are things that we can do and are so easy to do, but in the long run, in eternity, might bear tremendous amounts of fruit, right?
Yeah, and it's easy to get caught up into arguments and discussions. Oftentimes our loved ones come in on the defense, prepared to argue with us yet again about going to church or not going to church. And so to change the narrative, don't get sucked into some of that. Recognize that if there is a comment made about the faith or about our practice of the faith, it's coming from a place of misunderstanding and to not get sucked into a defensive mode back and to not try to convince them yet again, but just receive the comment and the criticism with love and with patience, recognizing that that can communicate far more than any words that we can say.
Right, right. And that love that you talk about sharing can be rather it can dispel some of that defensiveness. It can be just a pathway to leading, I can be more at peace about this, which is exceptionally important when it comes to the love of our family members, and especially around this time of year, as you've already pointed out. Wonderful. Anything else that might be good for people to bear in mind as they're headed into this holiday season? As you know, we ourselves, as you already said, get caught up in the busyness of the season. Even those of us who try really hard to place Christ right at the center of Advent, at the center of Christmas, we can get caught up in the details and the busyness and anything. Any advice you would have for us to maintain our own lives of faith in the midst of this?
I think it's just carving out those moments in the day to remember what this season is all about. If you're stuck in the grocery store line, take a moment and say a prayer. If you are waiting at the post office, take a moment and say a prayer. If you get caught off in traffic, take a moment and say a prayer. Mm-hmm. I think it's recognizing that it is busy. Oftentimes I get to December 26th and wonder what happened to Advent. And so it's being intentional about the free moments that God gives us, and also being aware, not trying to fill them, but taking a moment to pause, taking a moment to pray, taking a moment to remember what this season is about, so that on December 26th, our lives have been altered and changed because of our intentionality during this Advent season.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, Molly, only a couple seconds left here, but I do want to promote Return. Can you give us just a very brief synopsis of what Return is all about and how people can find out more?
Yeah, so Return Faith is a 7-part series that really works on equipping loved ones equipping participants to have conversations with their loved ones to draw them back to the faith. The series can be done many different ways, and parishes can host either completely online video series or a complete in-person series. So more information can be found at our website at returnfaith.org. And now that some of the COVID restrictions are being lifted, there are a few more parishes that are going to be running Return this spring and this summer. So keep an eye on our website for information about local parishes that are hosting it.
Fantastic. Well, Molly, thank you for taking the time to join us today and give us some good tips on how to engage with our family members around this holy season. I hope that you and yours, Molly, have a blessed Advent and a very happy and celebratory Christmas season as well. God bless you, Molly. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Patrick. God bless you, too.
All right. Molly Shore, founder of Return Faith, and you can find out more again at returnfaith.org. All right, it's time for our first break. Stick around, though, because we'll be back with good news of great joy for all people of the Archdiocese coming soon to the Cathedral of St. Paul. We'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Hear that? Well, that's the music you'll hear upon visiting the cathedral for the cathedral's Festival of Lights. Thankfully, the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis is a hub for thriving Catholic communities. At the heart of this hub is the Cathedral of St. Paul. So what better place to celebrate the upcoming Christmas season than by participating in a beautiful light show depicting the Nativity? Joining us for the second year in a row is Elizabeth Holland and Andrew Kermeyer of the Cathedral Festival of Lights to share about this festive and holy Christmas event. Elizabeth and Andrew, welcome to the program. Good to speak with you.
Thank you so very much. We're so pleased to be back here this second year.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Well, it's great to talk to you about this. I'm excited that there is this second light show put on by Lux Morales of, I'll let you talk about it rather than me. So, Elizabeth, why don't you kick us off? You know, our show here is based all on audio, but we want to hear about the visual beauty of the upcoming light show happening at Cathedral. For anybody who's not familiar, what exactly is it?
Yes, thank you so much, Patrick. This year, we are going to be offering yet another sacred art display on the front of the beautiful facade of the Cathedral of St. Paul this year. we are going to offer this beautiful welcome with arms open wide as people can visit our cathedral this year in person. And we will be showing a story that's called The Beginning, and there'll be a beautiful array of artistic display and original music to compile the story of the birth of Christ. And this year, we are very excited to welcome all inside our beautiful cathedral with yet another display of stars on the lovely dome of our cathedral, accompanied to yet more original music. So we believe this magical experience will be quite touching to all.
Yeah. Now, Andrew, you and I go back into the cathedral ourselves, and I'm excited to hear that you're involved. What is your role, Andrew, with the cathedral's light shows this year?
Yeah, thank you for having us on, Patrick. I have been the lead for the Christmas market portion of this event, and it has been quite a process. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of hard work, a lot of thanks to my family and friends, and it's been just really fun putting this together. We are going to be having a Christmas market in the cathedral courtyard. So we're encouraging visitors to, of course, see the beautiful outdoor light show at the front of the cathedral, then head in, which is a paid ticket that is $15 per person, and for groups of five or less, it is, sorry, I get this mixed up, the tickets, I'm not as keen on with the pricing, so that will be groups of five or more are going to be still the $15 amount, and then going into the beautiful interior light show, be able to just walk around and sit in the pews and just take in the beautiful sights. And we're encouraging after the inside light show to come up to the Christmas market, which is in the back of the church, back side of the church, I should say, in the courtyard. And we will have it just beautifully decorated. We are working so hard with the decorations. There's going to be Christmas trees, garlands with lights, and we'll have eight vendors in a tent that will be facing the church. It's kind of hard to describe, especially if you aren't familiar with the courtyard. And that will be, the vendors will all be in one tent, and we'll also have food trucks as well on Dayton Avenue, which is right off of the courtyard there. And that will just be a really, really fun experience. Very cozy. The courtyard is very a wonderful location, and just there'll be beautiful views too of the, you get wonderful views of the state capitol and downtown St. Paul as well.
Yeah.
We're really excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Elizabeth, back to you, and more from you in just a moment, Andrew, so don't go away. But Elizabeth, back to you. Now, my understanding is Lux Morales, it's a company out of the UK, isn't it? I mean, how does a light show come from across the Atlantic over to the Cathedral of St. Paul?
Oh, thanks for the opportunity to explain that. Lux Morales is a team of two artists, Peter Walker and David Harper, and they create these, if you would know in French, son et lumière, sound and light shows. Their very company, Lux Morales, means light murals. And I met the team when I was visiting my son in Oxford in 2018, saw their beautiful Christmas exhibit on the Cathedral of Lichfield, a medieval cathedral in Lichfield, England, north of Oxford, about an hour. And just thought, okay, this beautiful welcoming and celebration of the Christmas season should come to our very own cathedral that sits on the highest point of St. Paul. And as luck would have it, we had a warm reception at the Cathedral of St. Paul, and the artists were very excited to bring their tradition over to our country. And you see more and more of these immersive art exhibitions. We've seen the Van Gogh is now in Minneapolis. And I'm just so proud of the cathedral for welcoming this opportunity to show that all are welcome. Last year, I wanted to explain that we hosted a drive-by showing of the Nativity, which was, we were the only venue in the whole world that was showing this because of the lockdown in England. Now, this year, they'll be showing the Nativity that our cathedral displayed. So this year, thanks in so much to the generosity of the Kerrmeyers, we are not only being able to welcome people for free to just please come and join the beautiful display of music and magical wonder, but to then buy your ticket, come into the cathedral. This is the second phase of our opportunity to showcase the mystical, magical wonder of the music and the beauty and the holiness of our church. And then we can exit and just continue the celebration in this beautiful idea that really was Andrew's. I believe Andrew, I can give you credit for that, to have this Christmas market in the back of the church. So we're opening the whole campus of the Cathedral of St. Paul to all. It's fun. The art is magical. There's going to be food and music and celebration so that truly the entire public can enjoy. And so what a couple of points I'd really like to make. The tickets, as Andrew said, are $15 per person to enter into the cathedral, and that will allow you entrance into the festivities and the Christmas market. If you're a group of five or more, you can buy a group of $40 tickets. We have an opportunity as well on the last evening, Sunday night, to drive by. There are some people that just might not be comfortable walking up by themselves. So for $10 per car, we are taking, we'll allow you to drive through. So the street will be closed on Sunday evening for the drive-by viewers. Now, all these tickets, everyone, are available on Eventbrite. Search Festival of Lights, specifically for the drive-in, Festival of Lights drive-in. If you want to live stream the Cathedral, Heritage Foundation will offer a live streaming every evening. So for those of our friends far and wide, I know I have family in Texas and Florida that were able to participate via the Facebook live stream.
Wow, wonderful. Now, we should obviously say when all this is happening. I'm sure our listeners are already starting to make plans, but they need to know when, right? So I understand that light shows are running, is it December 15th through the 19th? Is that right?
That's correct. And it's important to note that although you'll see in big bold print December 15th through 19th from 6 to 10 p.m. We will have later start times on Saturday and Sunday due to evening mass. So on the weekend, it will begin at 7 p.m.
Okay, very good. And Andrew, how about the Christmas market? When is that going to be open?
Yes, and to note, so the market days are different from the light show. So this year it's just a little bit less. Hopefully next year we'll increase those days. But the light show, or the market, will be from December 6th, the 16th through the 18th, and that is the same show hours. It'll be 6 to 10 p.m. as well.
Okay. And Andrew, what you mentioned about the decorations and everything that were going up in the vendors there. What are the vendors, and well, I assume the food trucks are going to be hawking food, but what are the vendors going to be selling there? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't want to give away too many details.
Just okay, all right.
A bit of a surprise, but no, I can give a little bit, of course. There will be definitely some festive gifts, merchandise. We have a little mix of some nice holiday treats, and there will be definitely some Catholic and Christian-inspired merchandise for sale. Mm. So we tried to really curate this, so to speak, for the festiveness of this market, and we're really excited. Yeah, we have a great selection of vendors, and they're very excited to be part of this. And we've had a lot of activity with vendors this year, and next year we're hoping to grow it. And it's been a really, really a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, great. Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Elizabeth, let me go back to you. What kind of feedback did you get from the folks who attended or the drive-by in the last year's show?
Well, believe it or not, when people had to wait upwards of an hour and a half just to come and drive in front, I was humbled by the appreciation of bringing forth this just wonderful, expansive piece of art. And it moves, it flows. People were touched. And we're just so proud and pleased that we were able to carry this forth last year, and now we'll be able to open it up and welcome more and more people. And Andrew's got the best message ever that we're planning next year already. But if I could, Patrick, is this a good time to mention about how to get in and where to park?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
Wonderful. So if our viewers and participants are coming eastbound on Highway 94, exit please on Dale Street. Dale Street will be a smoother operation to come south, and then follow the signs to parking at the St. Paul College. Now, westbound will be a different exit. You will look for Marion Street. So if you're coming south on 35, please go west on 94 to Marion. Follow the St. Anthony frontage road up to Western, and you'll look for the college parking. So we're encouraging people that are coming from the northeast and west to look for parking at the St. Paul College. Parking will not be above $5. That's the maximum fee. And if you're coming from the south, please exit on Grand Avenue. That will take you up that steep Ramsey Hill by the University Club. And then you can park in the neighborhood nearby.
Wonderful. And what about, Elizabeth, for people who are doing just the drive-by, too, is there a particular route of traffic for that?
Oh, excellent. Yes, thank you very much. It would be coming down Summit Avenue, so it would be coming west to east. So you will have the cathedral on your left. Okay. It gets a little goofy because Summit Avenue actually turns north. So the east side, well, the grand front of the cathedral, you will be heading towards 94. So please, you'll have to come around, loop around the south side, and we'll be going north so that the east, you'll be seeing the east view of the cathedral on your left.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew, let me ask you, as far as your experience with last year's show, but also with the things that are planned for this year and things that you're thinking about already for next year, is this a good event? We were just talking with Molly Shore about, those members of our families who have maybe fallen away from the faith or not regularly practicing their Catholic faith anymore. What would you say? Is this a good event to bring someone along to that's not too, not too impositional in terms of, faith-wise, might be a good introductory event?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just, how can you not want to be part of something like this? It's just mm-hmm. The Christmas markets are really becoming a trend, I would say. They're kind of popping up all over, it seems like, this time of year. And just the lights from the light show, the decorations, as I keep referring to, it's just such a warm, welcoming experience. And we just have such a beautiful landmark, too, that this is set at. And not many places have that. And this time of year, people are looking to get out and do things as hard as it can be with the cold and the darkness. But absolutely, I think it definitely fits well for anyone, and the church is built for everyone. And we definitely want to have everyone come and feel welcome, and as it always is. And we are really excited for that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And yeah, go ahead, Elizabeth.
Oh, I just wanted to echo Andrew's message that this is truly an important community event for all, and in so doing, we help support the cathedral's restoration. And I think all of St. Paul, all of Minnesota, looks at this grand beacon on the hill and identifies with it. Whether you're faith-filled or searching or neutral, it's a place for all, as the Archbishop John Ireland intended it to be. So absolutely, it's a welcoming space. All are welcome. And it should be a joyous celebration in true Minnesota form, outdoors, in the elements.
Yeah, I will pray that it's at least somewhat tolerable in terms of temperatures and things like that, because, as you were speaking there, Elizabeth, that was what was going through my head, too, that this was Archbishop Ireland's vision, that the cathedral would be a place for all people of the area, but all people of Minnesota and all people of the Episcopal See. It's such a grand place in and of itself. And Yeah, yourselves together with Lux Morales are making this into a wonder of wonders, if I may say so. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, but let's hit the details one more time. So this is the Cathedral Festival of Lights, sponsored by the Cathedral Heritage Foundation. Light shows run Wednesday, December 15th through Sunday, December 19th, 6 to 10 p.m., except on the weekends when they'll start at 7, on Saturday and Sunday when they'll start at 7. And then the Christmas market is slated for December 16th through 18th as well. And tickets can be purchased for the inside event at eventbrite.com. Did I get all that right?
Perfect. But also to note that people can walk into the cathedral right now. There's a kiosk up in the front if you wish to purchase your tickets without the additional Eventbrite charge. So,
oh, wonderful. Well, Elizabeth and Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing how this pans out and brightens, literally, the celebrations of thousands of Minnesotans. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Patrick.
Merry Christmas and happy Advent.
Yeah, as to you as well. All right, well, it's time for break number two. When we come back, Jeff Cavins is here to talk about Ascension Press's Bible in a Year podcast with Father Mike Schmitz. You don't want to miss it. Back in 63 seconds.
This is how we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I got to go and I got to get rid of my sin because if I don't, then I'm going to be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession now. And a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there, and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show, because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Well, at the beginning of 2021, Jeff Cavins and Father Mike Schmitz joined forces in creating the Bible in a Year podcast through Ascension Press, a daily podcast that walks through the entire Bible following Jeff's Great Adventure Bible timeline. The podcast has had over 150 million downloads in just this first year and has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Did you participate? Well, joining us now to share a year in review is our friend Jeff Cavins. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick. It's good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Thanks for joining us. So it seems like we've all heard about it at this point, for good reason, the Bible in a Year podcast. But in case people haven't, they can visit ascensionpress.com to get the rundown. Jeff, before we take a look at this past year, share a bit about how the concept for a Bible in a Year came about.
Well, you know, earlier in last year, Father Mike had an idea that he wanted to do a podcast where he could, on a daily basis, encourage people with Scripture. And so he's the one that initially came up with that idea. And then he's a big fan of the Great Adventure. We're great friends. We've been working together for years with pilgrimages and so forth. And so we kind of put our heads together and decided to take the Great Adventure methodology, which is to read the Bible as a story. And that's from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And in the Great Adventure Study, we have a 30-day reading program where if you read four chapters a day, you'll read through the narrative in 3 months. So what we did is we took that program, basically, and we stretched it out for the whole year and got every book of the Bible in its proper sequence, where it really belongs. And so we put it together and did a lot of the recording on that and kind of forgot about it as the year turned to January 1st, and then everything exploded.
Yeah. Well, did you anticipate this kind of a response?
No, not at all. To be honest with you, I forgot about it when January came around. And I did. I actually kind of forgot about it. And it was January 2nd, and my producer called and said, "You're number one in the country." Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what she was talking about. I thought, my podcast, or I don't know what she's talking about. And I said, "You mean the podcast?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, for Catholic podcasts?" "No." "For religious category?" "No." She said, "For everything. You are on top of Joe Rogan, Ben Shapiro, and NBC Dateline, you know, all these shows." Wow. And both Father and I said, "You're kidding." So we went over on Apple and looked it up. And sure enough, Bible in a Year was number one in the nation. And it stayed there for a good part of January. Yeah. And we were just kind of blown away, to be honest with you. And there was no explanation for it other than God is sending a message to people, and that is that when his word is lifted up, he draws people to himself. And there was really very little credit for man to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Well, the Great Adventure Bible Timeline is a fruit of your labor. What was it like being able to work on this with Father Mike and bring it to life in audio form?
Well, it was a joy. You know, we're very good friends, and so we talk a lot about theology and about scripture and ideas and things like that. We also had just put together a new journal called the Insight Journal at Ascension, where you can write down the insights that you get, you know, as you're going through the Bible. But recording it was, it's very easy. It was very easy to record together because I think of our relationship where we kind of bounce off each other in a fun way. And he brings up insights and I bring up insights, and it's just, I look forward to it. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, certainly podcasting is an ever-expanding market for sharing content in this digital age. And likely, I mean, COVID had something to do with that too, that this is a place that people are turning to more and more in terms of getting information or even entertainment or something along the ways. But you've had so many people engaging with this Bible in Your podcast. Any feedback that you've gotten that you care to share?
Yeah, we found that a good percentage of the people that we just interfaced with in regular day life that weren't even Catholic necessarily were actually going through it. We had an incident out on the western suburbs at a kind of a cabin home, and someone broke into our garage, and I called the police. They stole a bike and some fishing rods and things, and the policeman came out, and he was taking the report, and he was asking me, "So what do you do, Jeff?" And I said, "Well, I'm a Bible teacher, and I teach at the Catechetical Institute in the seminary, and I got a podcast." And he goes, "Oh, what's the name of your podcast?" And I said, "Well, there's a couple of them, you know, there's mine, and then there's Bible in a Year." And he goes, "You're kidding. Are you that guy?" And I said, "Well, I'm one of them, not the priest, but I'm the other one." And he said, "I was just listening out in the squad car just before I came here."
Wow.
And then another one, I was getting my teeth worked on, you know, the regular checkup.
Yeah.
And you know, and our listeners know that usually the dental hygienist will ask you questions while your mouth is full.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so she said, what do you do? And I told her about the podcast, and she started jumping around and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm going through that right now." I said, "I love that." And so yeah, we run into people all the time that are going through it. In fact, we have some Jewish people going through it. We have some atheists who are going through it because they're curious. And we have a lot of Protestants. Sometimes the network TV hosts or radio or an interview for a magazine we go through, we'll find out that they're going through it, and they're not even Catholic. So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, what a great evangelization tool as well, in addition to being just such a faith-augmenting tool for those of us who want to grow deeper in our faith. What wonderful. Well, Jeff, I'm on ascensionpress.com right now, and it looks like not only is the podcast going to be offered again, but there's some other, at least one other thing coming up next year. Give us a little sneak peek into what's coming up next year for the Bible in a Year.
Yeah, well, for this coming year, we're going to be doing the Bible in a Year in Spanish.
Ooh.
And that's not Father Mike and myself. That would not work out too well. But Spanish, and then we are looking into the 2023 of doing some work with the Catechism. So that's about all I can tell you about that one. It's going to be exciting, I think, and yeah, good things happening. You know, Ascension is very creative and they're cutting edge. They've got just dozens of young, vibrant Catholics working there. And it's a real pleasure to work with people who have vision and energy and they love the church.
Absolutely. Do I see something, or I do see something, something about the Bible in a Year retreat?
Yes. Oh, that's what you were getting at. Okay.
Well, that's one of the things that I see on here, yeah.
We have Father Mike and I are doing a retreat next year, and all that information is on Ascension Press there. And people can join us online for this retreat. He and I are going to be together up in Duluth, and then we will be doing this retreat for anybody that wants to join us. And they can sign up at ascensionpress.com. So it's going to be kind of a look back at the Bible in a year, and where do we go from here, and encouraging people next week.
Okay. So you're not going to be reading through the entire Bible in this weekend retreat.
No.
Well, I know some people who might actually sign up for something like that, but at the same time, I think you're probably better off doing the day-by-day Bible in a Year podcast with Jeff Gavins and Father Mike Schmitz, and then, so for the encouragement.
There's so many wonderful things that have happened as a result of it, really, you know, with lives that have changed. We have thousands of stories of lives that have changed. I don't mean that they just were having a good day. I mean, their marriage was healed. They came back to the church. They went to confession for the first time. They understood the Eucharist for the first time. And those are really the testimonies that we just love. We love to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and just to reflect a little bit, since you have been doing Bible teaching for decades now, what is it, how would you, for someone who is maybe new to the Bible or doesn't understand the Bible, doesn't know the Bible, but is needing a little motivation for why the Word of God is so important, mm-hmm. what would you say, Jeff?
Well, it's a good question. And, you know, we talk a lot about, there's a lot of people going through the Bible in a year and a lot of people, you know, reading the Great Adventure Bible and all that. But you ask the question, why? Why would someone want to go deep into Scripture? And I think that the reason is that if you want to hear from God in your life and you need a fresh word from God today in your life, you got to be where He's speaking. And He speaks in His Word to us, both sacred Scripture and sacred tradition. And as you read through the Bible, you're going to receive two things. Now, there's two things that people are desperately looking for today, especially in light of COVID, political problems, everything. They're looking for, number one, a brighter future, and number two, someone to trust. And they're not finding it in the world. And so when you read salvation history, you're reading the Word of God, and He's revealing His heart to us, and He is also revealing His, as the Catechism says in the first paragraph, His amazing plan of sheer goodness. And so when you take that plan of sheer goodness and you take the heart of our Father, you have a brighter future. You have someone to trust. And that's what the advantage is, I think, in reading the Bible, is that it'll change your life because you get to know God and you get to know the plan He has for your life. And if you know those two things, then it's hopeful going forward.
Wow. Well, what a great motivation to take it up for this year. Take up the Bible in Your podcast. Check out ascensionpress.com for all the ways that you can get involved with the Bible in Your podcast. It's right there it fronts the website, so you can't miss it. It's right there, ascensionpress.com. Mm-hmm. Jeff, it's always exciting to hear from you. I'm afraid we're out of time, but we pray that your Advent season continues to go well, that you have a wonder-filled celebration of Christmas when that season rolls around on us. And we thank you, Jeff, of course, for all the work that you do with Bible in a Year, with the Great Adventure Bible Timeline, and for all the things that you do for our church. So thank you, Jeff.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Well, ascensionpress.com. Check it out and be part of this great way of entering into the Word of God. All right. We've got one more break. Are you looking for ways to augment your Advent and add elation to your Christmas celebration? Well, Paul and I may have just the thing for you coming up next. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are giving a voice to Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life. It might be vocations. It might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, you got a 15-minute or more commute, especially with the snow on the ground? Why not find out about something inspiring happening in our local church? Remember, all of our interviews on Practicing Catholic are podcasted on SoundCloud and Spotify. Just go to practicingcatholicshow.com for the links.
Escape the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. Take a moment to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas with Come to the Stable, a living nativity presented this Sunday, December 12th, 3 to 6 p.m. at Our Lady of Peace in Minneapolis. Visit archspm.org/events for more information.
Heart to Heart is an online book study for victim survivors of abuse. In her book, Daring Greatly, How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead, Brené Brown argues that vulnerability is not weakness, but our most accurate measure of courage. This book study meets the first and third Wednesdays of the month, including December 15th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. over Zoom. Visit archspm.org/events for more information and to register.
As heard on the show today, the Cathedral Heritage Foundation brings back the Cathedral Festival of Lights event with both indoor and outdoor Christmas light shows, Starry Night, and The Beginning, along with an outdoor Christmas market, all at the Cathedral of St. Paul. The light show runs Wednesday, December 15th through Sunday, December 19th, Christmas Market, December 16 through 18. Tickets for the indoor event Starry Night can be purchased online. The outdoor show is free and presented by the Cathedral Heritage Foundation and sponsors as a gift to the community. Go to the cathedralheritagefoundation.org, cathedralheritagefoundation.org for tickets and information.
All are invited to join the Church of St. Edward in Bloomington for a Christmas organ concert featuring a variety of beautiful Christmas music performed by Craig Winchell on their incredible Austin organ, Friday, December 17th at 7 p.m. No cost to attend, but a free will donation will be accepted. For more information, visit stedwardschurch.org.
Get into the spirit of the Christmas and late Advent season by partaking in lessons and carols at the Church of the Holy Cross in Northeast Minneapolis, Saturday, December 18th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. This time-honored tradition that tells the narrative of salvation history with scripture-beloved carols, choral selections sung by the choirs of Holy Cross. It's all free of charge. Visit archspm.org/events for all the information.
During this season of hope, invite your friends to an encouraging evening of music and stories of second chances offered to the wandering soul. Second Chances, Stories of Hope and Joy Restored is presented by the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, Sunday, December 19th at 4:30 p.m. Soup, dinner, and cookies follow the program. Go to archspm.org/events for more information.
And as always, check out all our social media posts on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Why not like and share them as well? They may be just what someone needs this Advent. Head over to PracticingCatholicShow.com for links to them, as well as to past interviews and shows.
Yeah, I think especially that interview with Molly today might be a good one to share with a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just so that they know how to best communicate the love of the faith to their family members.
It can be tough.
It can be. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we're going to continue doing that with each and every show. We got another great show coming up next week for you as well. We've been hearing more about the Dobbs versus Jackson case recently, but what does it mean for the pro-life movement? Jason Adkins of the Minnesota Catholic Conference is going to break it down for us. Next, how might we open our homes and hearts to others this season? Alicia LaCroix shares some tips on expressing the gift of hospitality. And lastly, with Advent being a season of preparation, have you been to confession recently? Father Paul Hedman is back to advise us on how to make the most of this sacrament. That's all coming up next time. Thanks for joining us this time. May God bless you. And in the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.